Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and make Him known. We now offer two services on Sunday mornings. Our classic service begins at 8:30 a.m. and our modern service is at 10:45. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church to find out more about how we are making disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in this week's message from God's Word.
There were two men shipwrecked on an island. The minute they got onto the island, one of them started screaming and yelling, "We're going to die, we're going to die, there's no food, there's no water, we're going to die." But it was propped up against the palm tree, acting very calmly, and it drove the first man crazy. He said, "Don't you understand? We're going to die." The second man replied, "You don't understand. I make $100,000 a week. We're going to be fine. We'll get found soon." The first man looked at him dumbfounded. "Who cares? What difference does it make what your salary is each week? We have no water. We have no food. No one knows we're here. We're going to die." The second man once again answered, "You don't get it, do you? I make $100,000 a week and I tithe 10% $10,000 a week to my church." The first man, still dumbfounded, looked at him and said, "I still don't understand. You're crazy." The second man said, "Listen, relax. I tithe $10,000 a week. Trust me, my pastor will find me." He will find me. It's true. You know, Southside Baptist Church is not full of people making $100,000 a week, though we would not turn them away, all right? But it's made of normal, hardworking people who love Jesus, who love their community, and have made just, in my opinion, a huge impact. And I'm thankful that we are one of many churches in Florence that love their community and are impactful. And I'm thankful for those other churches, amen, of their love for people and the love for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a little history here, okay? In 1950, a group from Grace Baptist Church, which is still in existence and doing well underneath Brother Reverend Collins, decided to move on with their where they were located at and start a mission in the suburban community of Coles Cross Roads, which is, you don't know where that's at? I had to look it up. All right, I did. It's over by Arby's in that general area right there. The Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers Hall was obtained as a meeting place for Sunday services, and the first meeting was September 3rd, 1950. With adults and 12 children present. So young families started this church. Reverend Powell preached the morning service on faith. And J.C. Manor, a student of Mars Hill College in North Carolina, preached the evening service. Different locations were used as a meeting place for prayer services. In the summer of 1951, a tent revival conducted by Reverend Byrd of First Baptist Church was held on a tract of land on Pamplico Highway, adjoining the railroad crossing. It was hoped to purchase this land for the church, but was found that it could only not be purchased because of it could not have a clear deed. In August 1951, Mr. and Mrs. Mobley Hammond heard of our disappointment, and after much prayer, God led them to give us the land on which the first sanctuary is located. The church was completed by Easter of 1952. And dedicated on May 11th, 1952. If you don't know what building that is, it's not this building. It's what we now call our student center. And was the original building. There have been seven pastors here at Southside. I'm the seventh pastor. And I accepted the call to be the pastor here January 22nd, 2017, and I started February 26th of that same year. As well, the worship center, this worship center, was built in 1995. The addition, the Sunday school area, which we now call our connection groups, basically everything on the other side of this wall, was built in 2005. And, of course, there's been different staff through the years, different pastors, and different people who, many who have served on the different finance and personnel and different committees that we have here at Southside Baptist Church. When I came here 5 years ago, just under 5 years ago, it'll be 5 years in February, a church, we had a little over $600,000 left on our mortgage. And I felt like God wanted us to, one, pay that off. And on that Vision Sunday that we had that summer in 2017, there was improvements in which we needed to make. That needed to be done. With any church, there's maintenance that needs to happen. There's, you know, there's decisions you need to make in renovating your church. Now, the church is more than a building. The church is the people. That's what makes up the church. Amen? But I've yet to see a church that didn't have a building long term. If you don't have one, you probably not end up having church very long, at least at that church. A church building is a discipleship tool. It's an important tool. And I felt that we needed to make some upgrades, but we did not have room in the budget to do it. But we came together as a church during that time, a time of transition, and we raised $135,000. Yeah. I'll tell you a cool story. The Fresh Vision, kind of the part one, was a little over the Fresh Vision, kind of the part $78,000 that was raised. And there were some things that we still were unable to do. Right here in the sanctuary, we had some red carpet that had been here a long time that needed to be, you know, replaced. And we had red chairs as well, and red on red is not exactly always the favorite look, but depending on who you are. But we had some other things we needed to do, and our goal was to raise about $10,000 to bring our children's ministry into this building. So Sunday mornings, everyone's underneath the same building. Before, they were going over to the old student center. Our nursery was in the daycare, and we wanted to change that. And we were renovating January 2020, right before the pandemic. And we had raised about $9,000. I needed 10, and I thought we could make it work. We're doing some of the work ourselves, and many of you have helped out in doing some of that work, and we were able to stretch every dollar. There are some things I'm like, God, it would be great if you could just provide and in a way, because we've stepped out on faith. There's some things still that we need to do. And I remember I was by myself up there in the new children's wing, renovating, and we're painting and designing the little background there. And I won't say who called me, but someone in our church called me and said, "Hey, Pastor, my daughter and her husband, they live in Florida. They grew up here at the church, but they live in Florida, and they've lived there for a while, and they really haven't found a church home. They haven't found a church home, and they end up tithing to, you know, different churches in the area that they know that could use the help. Is there any projects that you have that they could give towards?" And I'm like, "I'll call you in an hour, and let me figure a couple things out." So I'm looking, and I'm like, "Well, I know we got the carpet. I know we need some chairs. I know we have some windows on the student center that were, man, they needed replaced badly. There were some other things." I called them up and explained, and they said, "Well, do you think $50,000 will work?" "Yes, it will work." But God is faithful. He is faithful. And we're not a rich church. We're not. But man, we have been richly and greatly blessed in so many different ways. We have some wonderful, great people. And if you're new here, we really do. We have a very loving church that loves people. In the last little under 5 years, we've baptized approximately 80. We've had 80 baptisms. Ministries that are supported locally in our community. And this church isn't, and sometimes churches have this view of they just take and they don't give, but this church is a giving church. It really is. We tithe 10% of every dollar that comes in here. Let me explain what that looks like. We give towards the House of Hope. We help support the Christian Learning Center, which meets in some of the different high schools in the area. The PD Crisis Home, A Choice to Make, Lighthouse Ministry, which helps with electric bills. Tenacious Grace will be one that's coming on in 2022. The Good News Club, Mercy Medicine. 7% of all that comes in goes to foreign missions. And per year, that comes out to right around $45,000 that this church supports for foreign missions. Locally, we support our association, which also includes in that association, BCM, which if you're not familiar with BCM, it's right next to Francis Marion. And Brother Kendall out there has been leading that for some time, I think for 15, 16 years. And it's a wonderful ministry that ministers to college students. That comes out to right around $13,000 to $14,000 a year. We have a food pantry. In fact, they're getting ready for Thanksgiving right now. We also buy this little house, and we have 6.5 acres here that God's given us. There's a little house out here and that's used for different NA and AA meetings that we let them use for free. We don't charge them anything. We know it ministers to the community. But over by that house, there's a white box. It looks like a mailbox, but it's not a mailbox, but there's food in it. There's church tracts, there's salvation, there's gospel tracts in there. It's called a blessing box. And our goal is that every single day that there's enough food in there that there's someone homeless, someone who needs it, that they can get it. And people do. We also have people, we don't even know who they are, that bring food, non-perishable items, and they put it in there. They're not even part of our church. But that's what Southside Baptist Church is about. It's about helping people. And ultimately spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. This church is not a perfect church. And if you find a perfect church, don't join it. You'll mess it up. I would mess it up. I've had someone say once, you know, I won't go to church. There's nothing but hypocrites there. I'm like, well, one, that's not true, all right? But two, is there a better place for a hypocrite? I mean, let me know if there is. Maybe God can straighten them out and work on their heart. The Southside Baptist Church is here today, not because of someone's rich, but because of dedication of its members to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was and is a group of people who came together and gave their time and resources. And they believed that the gospel needed to be spread, buildings needed to be built, and lives could be changed because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Let's turn over the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. And there's something I brought up here with me, and they call this a plumb bob. Plumb bob. This would be the plumb line here. And you can even read in the book of Isaiah talking about a plumb line. So they even had something similar, I mean, thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, if you're in construction, you've seen this before. You've used this to try to find, make sure something is square, you know, horizontally and or vertically, excuse me. Horizontally, that'd be kind of tougher. But vertically, and so you can tell you're a preacher, not a construction worker. That's true. I do a little bit of construction, but obviously not experienced. But most of the time they use lasers now today, right? But something with a plumb bob and a plumb line is you can't argue with it. Now the wind might blow it a little bit and throw you off, but it's going to go down. Why? Because gravity goes down. Gravity hasn't changed. And what a plumb line, a plumb bob, even mentioning in the book of Isaiah, it hasn't changed much. It's not going to change because gravity hasn't changed, because there's truths that are basic that have not changed. And God's way of reaching people hasn't changed. Old Testament saints came to faith the same way that we do today. I do. By faith. By faith and by faith alone. Now, the Old Testament saints were looking for the Messiah who would come. They were looking forward. And as Christ died on the cross for our sins, you know, that was what was in the past was paid for them. And he gave the opportunity to everyone in the world to repent and put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But something that hasn't changed is this, is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news means, or the gospel means, good news. And in Galatians chapter 1, Paul wrote the book of Galatians. And there was some false teachers that were polluting, that were trying to change what the gospel was. And this is what it reads in verse 6. I am shocked. I'm shocked that you're turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. So it's not the real thing. It's not the real McCoy. It's pretending. But is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Now notice this. How serious is this? How serious is this concerning in the gospel to God when it comes to twisting the gospel message and what it means? Now listen, there's different denominations and we have some different views on some different things. Some of it's, you know, maybe some of those different sign gifts that 1 Corinthians mentions. But even our brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe Pentecostal or Church of God or even some of the Methodists and other, and I don't want to mention them all, we may have some different views on Scripture, but there's one area that cannot be messed with. In fact, it will make you not a Christian. Now, it has nothing to do with being a Baptist or being a Methodist or being this denomination. This one thing right here, this one thing that if it is polluted, perverted, messed up, you can't even know Christ. You can't even follow him. I mean, it gives a stern warning. And this is one view that divides non-believers and believers, even if they're religious. This is what it says. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again that we have said it before. If anyone preaches any other good news, any other gospel, than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Let him be cursed. I think Paul's trying to say, don't change the gospel. Don't change it. Don't pervert it. Don't try to twist it. Don't mess with it at all. I received, verse 10. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preached is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. There are many people who don't know the gospel, even here in America. There's been stories of different athletes who have written different Bible verses. A popular one's John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you've heard this before, but Tim Tebow years ago when he was playing in the national championship for the Florida Gators, put John 3:16 on his eye black. And That night alone, 93 million people Googled John 3:16, the most popular Bible verse of all time. I didn't Google it. You want to know why? Because I knew it. I didn't need to Google it. They didn't know. And there are so many. There are millions. Why do we send missionaries out and about? Because they need to know the gospel. How will they hear without someone if someone doesn't tell them? And the responsibility of every believer is to share the gospel of Jesus. And it's something we shouldn't be ashamed of. Romans tells us this. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why is this? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It's in the spiritual realm. It is powerful. It will change you. It will take you from an old life to a new life. And it will not just turn a new page or go to a new chapter. It's a whole completely new book. That's what the gospel does. Now you may be here and you may be wondering, okay, explain the gospel exactly. What is the gospel exactly? And that's okay. Because listen, the people who know the gospel, they want you to know it. So this is what the gospel. The gospel is the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That provides full and free deliverance from the power and penalty of sin, according to the grace of God alone, through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Why is this such wonderful, wonderful news? You and everyone else have been born with a fatal condition. This condition is called sin. You were born a sinner. My children were born sinners. I did not have to teach my children how to do wrong. They knew how to do it automatically, just like their mother. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe I'm included in that. But you don't have to teach them. You have to teach them how to do right. I love what Colossians, how it kind of words this and explains why we need Jesus so much. Colossians 2, verse 13, it says, you were dead because of your sins, because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That's what he did. So because we're born sinners, and we sin because we're sinners, and we wonder, why does this flesh want to do wrong at times and do things that it should not do, that we know are sinful and wrong? Because we were born that way. And in fact, God is a righteous judge. He will follow the law. He will follow and he'll judge us, for example, just even by the Ten Commandments. And when you compare yourself to the Ten Commandments, you realize how much of a sinner you are. The Bible says you shouldn't take God's name in vain. Have you ever used God's name, either Jesus Christ or God's name, as a curse word ever before? That's blasphemy. The Bible speaks of that. You ever disobeyed your parents? Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. You ever lied about anything? Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. You ever stolen anything, great or small? Well, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Have you ever lusted after somebody? That's included in adultery, because Jesus said to look at someone, to lust after them, is to commit adultery in your heart. I mean, that's just four or five of them. And God will judge us accordingly. And as you judge yourself against the Ten Commandments, you realize, uh-oh, I'm in trouble here. I need help. And because of our sin, we need someone else to help us out. We're in a hole that we can't get out of on our own. But Jesus Christ, he came into the hole with you, rescued you out of the hole, and brought you up out of the hole, dusted you off, gave you new clothes, cleaned you up, because you can never get clean enough for Jesus. He will clean you up. That's what he does. That's what he does, because that's who he is. Because one day death is going to come. And if you die in your sin without Jesus, without repenting of your sin, asking Christ for forgiveness, you won't go to heaven. There is a place called hell. And some wonder, you know, when it comes to hell, which was made originally for Satan and his demons. The reason heaven is so wonderful, and the reason hell is so awful is not the flames that are in hell or the peace that's in heaven. What makes it so great is this. Heaven is so great because Jesus is there. And what makes hell so awful is Jesus decides not to be there. That's the difference. And why would God make someone go to a place that they have made it clear they have no interest in here on earth? Man, some people, they don't like going to church. We worship here in church, man. We have some great musicians here in church. What do you think heaven's going to be like? I mean, it's going to be a party, worshiping party. It's going to be awesome. And if you don't want to sing down here, why would he make you sing up there? So maybe stop blaming God for those such things. He's revealed himself through his word. He's revealed himself through creation. I mean, God has revealed himself. The question is, will you reject the gospel or will you accept the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, there is no other gospel. There is no other gospel. See, some are confused about the gospel. Paul said in verse 6, there in Galatians, he said, why would anyone want to believe a message other than the true gospel? And in Galatians chapter 6, I'll turn my page here. Verse 6, so I am shocked that you're turning away so soon from the God who called you to himself through the loving mercies of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news. So some were confused about what the gospel was. They thought, well, maybe, just maybe, I can do some good works and that'll help me be saved. Well, my father or my mother or my grandfather or my aunt or uncle, they're a preacher or pastor somewhere. I'm getting in because of that. Some people have in their mind that they're getting into heaven because they live in America and they've heard America is a Christian nation. Therefore, they must be a Christian too. And they're getting in, or they're a good person, right? They were confused that they should just get in. The good news, the gospel really is the good news. Jesus died to pay for the price of your sins. The debt has been cleared. Simply put your trust in what he has done, and the eternal life is yours. So what else do you want? What else do you want him to do? In the case of the Galatian churches, why would they exchange the good news for the bad news where there are other hurdles you have to clear to meet God's expectations? Why would people trade the message of salvation by God's grace alone for a scheme that requires a list of rules to follow? And the Galatians were wanting to hold on to the gospel, but also hold on to Judaism. In other words, these are the rules you have to follow. Yes, God's grace is free, but you have to do these rules. You have to do these religious things right here. Then God might forgive you. And Paul's like, wait a second. That's not what I taught you at all. But some think like that. Some of you right now think to yourself, well, there are certain things I have to do to earn my way to heaven. I know God is involved in that. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross, but, you know, I got to make sure I'm good enough. Make sure I'm good enough. There's a story of a retired basketball player, Stacey King. He played for the Chicago Bulls. And Stacey King jokingly tells people that he remembers the night that he and Michael Jordan scored 70 points together. He scored one. Michael Jordan scored the rest. And some people have in their mind of God, I need to make this one free throw, do my 1% part, and I know the rest depends upon God, but that's, no. You can't earn your way in. It only comes through the grace of God. Satan loves to cause confusion. He loves to cause confusion. Why do we have some of the issues and the craziness in our world today, even in the news media? So many people are like, I don't know what to believe and what is true and what's false. Man, the enemy is behind it. He loves confusion. You see, some were fooled by another gospel. It looked like the gospel, but what it was really was a counterfeit gospel. Just like a counterfeit bill. Here's a $1 million bill. Counterfeit, right? You can't spend this at Walmart. It's not the real deal. I wouldn't say it's a counterfeit. It's something that's made up, but you get what I'm saying. Some people have made it. Remember when I worked at H.H. Gregg years ago as a salesman, someone had brought in a couple, I think $300 or $400 and paid for a TV, and they printed off on one of their printers. And the FBI came into our store. And I thought, ooh, that's not good. It never did catch me, though. I tell you that. It never did catch me. No, I'm just kidding. I did not do that. The government's watching. I didn't do that. It was a joke. But counterfeits mimic the original to cause confusion. And that's what was going on in this church. And that's what goes on today. The enemy hasn't changed his tactics. They were fooled by another gospel. Don't be fooled. Some preached another gospel on purpose. I mean, they were just wolves that were in the church and they were preaching a different gospel. And he says, let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of gospel. Now, this word, we kind of miss really how strong this word cursed is, because it's in the English and not in the Greek. But when you look at it, what it really means, to get as close as you possibly can to what it means in the English, it means this: let anyone who preaches a different gospel, let them be damned. That's what it means. Whew. Paul's like, even us. There's other religions like Mormonism that believe an angel came and gave a different gospel. They don't like Galatians chapter 1 very much. I pray they come to know the true gospel. So some preach it differently on purpose. Some were focused on pleasing people instead of God. Notice verse 10, it says, obviously I'm not trying to win approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. It seems today in our society, we are so worried about offending everyone else that we have forgotten that we are offending God. When I preach up here, I don't get up here going, you know, who can I offend today? That's not my goal. But if the truth of God's word offends somebody, your problem is not with me. Your problem is with God. And this preacher is not going to stop preaching the truth in love. I think we need to give the truth in love. I don't care what the government says or who says what. We preach the word of God. So what are some different gospels that are around today? We have the gospel of success. The gospel of success. That if I'm following Jesus, then he's going to make me successful. And I'm going to have everything that I want because I'm following God. And man, name it, claim it, you're going to get it. Because God is good and he is good. Don't get me wrong. But it leaves out as well that sometimes following Jesus, it may involve you selling everything you own to follow his call. Think about selling almost everything you own to go to the mission field. But that's what the farriers did this week. Sold everything to go. Their house, the other items, to go. Sometimes following Christ may mean that you may experience some suffering, like the Apostle Paul, like other missionaries who have gone out before us. I'm sure the young families that helped start this church, man, I know they sacrificed. I have a brother who's a pastor who started a church. I know he sacrificed. Sometimes you have to sacrifice to follow Jesus, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Then there's the gospel deal. These are some gospels, really, that are given out today. At least they're another gospel. They're pretend, and I wouldn't touch or go to a church that preaches these things. But the gospel deal, and some have this in their mind today that, well, God and I, we've made out our deal, preacher. I've heard this many different times. No, you didn't. You thought you did. The deal in which you made with God goes against the grain of Scripture. Maybe you made a deal with the devil, my friend. But you didn't make one with God. You got nothing to bring to him other than yourself. There's nothing. There's nothing that you have he wants other than you. He wants all of you. Sometimes it's a gospel deal. Then there's the gospel of baptism. Some have in their mind, well, if I just get baptized and I don't, you know, need to really get saved or become a Christian. Baptism is just the same as salvation anyway, but it's not. That's what Paul says, and you could preach a whole sermon on this alone, but Paul said to them in Corinth, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." According to Paul, baptism is not the same as the gospel. In fact, it's different. You see, you get baptized after you repent of your sins and you give your life to Christ. So you publicly can declare, "I am following Jesus. I'm following Jesus." Sometimes people ask, "I don't want to get baptized in front of people. I want to get baptized kind of maybe my own private ceremony." You're missing the point of baptism, my friend. It's to go, "I am following Jesus and I'm not ashamed about it." I know it can be intimidating getting in front of people if you're not used to it, but that's okay. You can do it. Then there's a gospel of many paths. This is the Oprah gospel. It's what I call it. There's many paths to God. You just got to find your own path. The problem is Jesus made it very, very clear he was not okay with that. And in fact, that's just another gospel. It's just another gospel of just finding your own path through whatever religion you find it. So Jesus, he made one of the most outrageous claims in saying this. And this is where sometimes I really get people's attention. Because I preach this in funerals oftentimes. And I remember a lady, she didn't know I heard her, but she said, "Is he really saying Jesus is the only way? And there's no other way? Are you serious?" I wanted to chime in like, "Yep." I didn't. Because I made it very clear. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." You can't get to God the Father unless you go through Jesus. There's one mediator between you and God, Jesus Christ. You don't need to confess your sins to me. You confess them to Jesus. I'm here to help you out in any way I can. You don't need to confess them to a priest. You can confess them to Jesus. That's who you can bring them to. And this statement can be very offensive to some people. Other religions, many of them, seem at first glance to be more tolerant when it comes to religion. In India, if they are told that Jesus is the Son of God, they will reply, "No problem." Why? Because they have millions of gods. There's no problem with adding Jesus into millions of gods. But when they are told Jesus is the only Son of God, the only path that leads to eternal life, that's when they get angry. You see, if Christianity is intolerant, then so are other religions. All religions find things they can't accept in other religions. For example, Muslims cannot tolerate a disagreement with the Quran. Buddhism does not accept Hindu scriptures in the Hindu caste system. Hinduism does not accept views of life that do not include karma and reincarnation. Atheism cannot accept any belief in God whatsoever. And if there's one thing that makes Christianity really different is this. From all the other world's religions, it's a resurrection. Bodily resurrection, physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Christianity is about how God came down among mankind in flesh and blood and dwelt among us, was perfect, and came among us to our level, and through the cross offered hope. Through the resurrection offered eternal life to anyone who will put their faith and belief in Jesus Christ. All the other world's religions, when you sum them up, are about how you can be a god, or how you can just work your way and try to be good enough to be acceptable to God. But we're not acceptable to God the way we are, but yet he does love us. You may even wonder, why would God even love me? I don't know. Because I don't know why he loves me. But he does, and he loves you. And he offers grace and mercy. I'll end with this. A young lady one day was speeding through a small Georgia town, and she was traveling 70 miles an hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. The police pulled her over and wrote her a ticket that would cost her $200. She didn't have the money to pay it, and in the courtroom, the judge said, "You were found guilty of going 70 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. You need to pay the $200 fine." The young lady said, "I am guilty, but I can't pay it. I don't have $200. "Well, if you don't pay the ticket, you're going to be locked up for the weekend." She said, "I can't pay the ticket." She started to cry. The judge replied, "I can't change the law. The law says you need to pay the $200 fine, or you will have to spend the weekend in jail. Those are the rules, and I can't change them." She asked as she was tearing up, "Is there anything? Is there anything that you can do? I can't pay it. I have children. I have bills. I have food to pay. I'm asking, have mercy on me." The judge looked down at her, pushed back his chair from the bench, stood up, zipped down his robe, took it off, hung it up. He went over by her side, picked up his jacket, put it on. He walked down and stood beside the girl, reached into his wallet, and brought out $200 bills. He put the $200 bill on the bench, took off his jacket, went over, picked up his robe, zipped up his robe, and went back behind his bench. "Young lady, you've been found guilty of going 70 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone. This is the law. I cannot change the law. The law says you must pay the $200 fine or spend a weekend in jail." "Ah, I see. Somebody else has already paid the price." God saw us speeding down the highway of sin. He zipped down the independent use of his deity and put on the jacket of humanity. He came down, died on the cross, paid the price that you and I could not pay. He picked up the tab, rose from the dead, zipped up his glorified body, ascended up to heaven. And the good news of the gospel is that the bill we could not pay has already been paid. It's been paid by God himself in the person of Jesus Christ. That's why it's called the gospel. That's why it's good news. And if you've not accepted and repented of your sins, do you want to do that today? You can. Let's be in an attitude of prayer as the music is playing. Let's close our eyes just in reverence to God. You're here and you know the gospel and you've accepted the gospel and you've accepted that free gift. That's wonderful. But today can be that day that you become a Christian, by repenting and asking in faith for Christ to save you, and he will. If you think, "I just need to be clean enough. I'm not clean enough." You're right, you're not. And you'll never be. But Christ can clean you. He'll make you a new creation, the Bible says. You can pray this morning. Will you pray with me? You can pray this prayer. It's a simple prayer. Prayed in faith, God will save you. He will change you. pray, "Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner and that I deserve death and hell. I'm asking Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I'm putting my faith and belief in Jesus for my salvation." If you're here and you prayed that, I just want to rejoice with you. I won't point you out. I won't make you stand up. I won't embarrass you. I won't do any of that. I just want to pray for you just separately in my mind, okay? I'm not going to send anybody over to you. I'll be happy to talk to you afterward. Say, "Pastor Lucas, that's me. I prayed that prayer. I'm giving my life to Christ this morning." Will you raise your hand high in the air? People, they got their eyes closed. Just show it to me, please. Show it to God. Show it to me. Amen. I see that hand, sweetie. Anyone else? Say, I prayed that prayer this morning. I'm becoming a Christian. I want to become a Christian. Amen. God, we love you. We praise you. We're so thankful for who you are. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.